There are three books that are timelines for these three members of the human family. We don't have time to study all of them. We'll just study one. Let me just tell you, the book of Revelation starts at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that was alive and dead, and now stand before you alive. And then it takes everybody, as they study through, and Christians in particular, into eternity future. That's a timeline for Christians. The book of Daniel. Daniel was taken into the Babylonian captivity with his three buddies, the Hebrew boys, who were taken there in 605 BC. That was the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. The book of Daniel lays out a timeline for the Gentiles from that point all the way into eternity future. 12 chapters, detailed information about the Gentile and world and how it's going to unfold and how it's going to be concluded. In fact, one of the reasons for this tribulation period, according to Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel 2 is Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel 7 is Daniel's dream, both of those dreams conveying to those, as God dispatches a heavenly visitor to interpret both of the dreams, that indeed the times of the Gentiles, when a Gentile has control over the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem, that's going to come to an end. And that's one of the purposes, one of the three purposes for the tribulation period. So we have the book of Revelation for the Christian, a timeline. It starts at the resurrection, takes you into eternity future. And we have the book of Daniel, a timeline for the Gentile. That thus then leaves for the Jew the book of Ezekiel. Now let's go to Ezekiel and we'll get into our study on the book of Ezekiel. May I suggest if you will just appropriate that trio of triplets that I've just given you, it will help you start to understand. For example, if you're studying a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, has nothing to do with Christians, only Gentiles and Jews. See, that's how you appropriate it. I said Matthew 24, that's a prophecy only to Jewish people. You say, well, I thought the Bible was applicable for everybody. Well, the Bible is applicable for everybody. There is a spiritual application in all of the Bible, but there's a technical interpretation for every page in the Bible as well. May I just illustrate that? The book of Leviticus has 27 chapters. I told you about Ezekiel studying Leviticus. Excuse me, yes, 27 chapters. And for 28 years, a man who's qualified to be a priest will study this book. You know why? First seven chapters of the book of Leviticus is a system of sacrifices. Chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11, standards for the priest. Chapters 12 to 27, a system of worship in a tabernacle or a temple. Do you hear what I said? System of sacrifices, standard for the priest to operate those sacrifices, a system of worship in a tabernacle or a temple. I know this looks something similar to a tabernacle, but it's not a tabernacle by a true definition of the prophetic biblical word of God. I didn't see any sheep outside, although you like sheep, brother. I didn't see any out there for us to sacrifice. I didn't see Bill or Robert showing up in priestly garments. And so the book of Leviticus is not technically interpreted for us. You don't go to a temple. You don't have a priest that leads the service. You don't go through a sacrificial system. That system is technically interpreted for the Jewish people. Spiritual application, the word holiness is used 83 times in the book of Leviticus. You want to understand the holiness of God? You study the book of Leviticus. You see my point? You make that same hermeneutical principle apply to Matthew 24. There's some great spiritual truth there, but it's technically interpreted for the Jewish people, and it's the second coming of Christ. It's not the rapture of the church. Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's get into Ezekiel for the time that we have left together. Ezekiel chapter 1. Let me tell you first of all that Ezekiel is one of four books in the Bible that would be referred to as apocalyptic literature. And let me tell you, apocalyptic comes from the Greek word, from the Greek word apocalypsis, which means to foretell, or the future, or revelation. It's talking about prophecy. There are four books that are apocalyptic: Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation, and Zechariah. What apocalyptic literature does, it will use a symbol to communicate an absolute truth. When we get to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I'll be able to describe exactly and illustrate what I'm talking about. Remember the 37th chapter, it's the story of, or the prophecy of the valley of dry bones. Now, when we get there, I'll come back and visit this statement again. But just remember, this book is apocalyptic, as well as Daniel, Revelation, and Zechariah. God will use symbols, and it's not an allegory. It's not a fairy tale. He will use a symbol to communicate an absolute truth. And when he does that, then he will use the word of God to interpret that absolute truth. So Ezekiel is an apocalyptic book. God chooses him. Notice what I was telling you when I told you about Ezekiel, starting in verse 1 of Ezekiel. Now, it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month. Don't you love how specific the Lord is? I mean, the day, the month, and the year. That I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens opened, and I saw visions of God. And so we see that God is going to communicate something to this Ezekiel young man who was 30 years of age, which means he had just qualified to be a priest. We know he's a priest. The Word of God will tell us that. He goes to the Chebar River. The Chebar River is a tributary off of the Euphrates River in what was then known in biblical times as Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia, that word, its background is meaning two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. And in the plains of Shinar, between the Tigris and the Euphrates in Mesopotamia, is where Ezekiel was taken, just outside a community called Babylon. Folks, that's modern day Iraq. That's where this all unfolds, in modern day Iraq. How up to date could the word be? The focus of our world today on that little state in the Middle East and all that's going on, as I speak, there is very much controversy surrounding it. Jesus said, Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, where was Noah living in his last days? You see, Noah lived 600 years before the flood. So there were days of Noah before the flood. He lived just more than a year during the flood. And then he lived after the flood 350 years. He lived 950 years. So there were days of Noah after the flood. What was Jesus referring to? I believe he was referring to the days of Noah after the flood. Where did he live? Where his great-grandson built a city in the face of God, who told him to be fruitful, multiply, repeople the earth. Old Nimrod, great-grandson of Noah, went to the shores of the Euphrates River in Mesopotamia, right there in the plains of Shinar, and he built a great city called Babylon. And that's where Ezekiel and his 10,000 Jewish worshipers are going to be taken at the beginning of this time when he starts his ministry, a very unique ministry that is going to unfold here. It's going to be an unbelievable eye-opener as we study Ezekiel. Ezekiel, 2,500 years ago, a major player in all of world history, writes a book, pre-writes history happening today from the location where our world is focused on today. And exactly where it all culminates, Babylon. Revelation 18 is the last location Jesus Christ deals with before he steps back on planet Earth. And here's Ezekiel at this spot. What Ezekiel has to say leading up to that time is amazing, unbelievable. Let me tell you how Ezekiel, Dr. Lehman Strauss is one of my heroes. And one day he came to me and he said, I came to him and I said, Dr. Strauss, You are so knowledgeable of the Word of God. When you approach, and you've written so many books, you're a prolific author. When you approach writing a book or teaching a book of the Bible, how do you go about it? He said, Jimmy, the first thing I do, I read that book 100 times through before I ever start to teach it or write about it. 100 times he read the book. And he would read the book at one sitting. He wouldn't read couple of chapters of Ezekiel today, a couple of chapters tomorrow. He would sit and read the entire book of Ezekiel today at one sitting and then get up. By the time he read that book 100 times, he almost was memorizing it in his mind, knew where everything was in the book. And then he said, the second thing I do is I put an outline with the book. Because if I can't see the overall big picture, I'm never going to be able to get all the little details. You don't go in and start inspecting the trees in the forest until you can see the forest from afar. Very good principle. And so he would put an outline together. I'm going to give you a suggested outline for the book of Ezekiel. This is the one I'm going to be following as we teach. You don't have to use mine. You can develop your own and your own individual Bible study. And I hope this is just going to be the introduction for you starting to study the book of Ezekiel. I have a 2-point outline with 2 subpoints for each of the points.